This is DGMT's Learning Lunch, and I'm your host, Rahima Asab. You are listening to our deep dive conversation where I ask what it takes to keep volunteers engaged, happy, and committed. So over the next 30 minutes or so, you will hear from program coordinators, project leads, and volunteers themselves, all sharing their perspectives on the topic. I want to start this conversation off with a few interesting facts and figures about volunteering in South Africa. The first figure is 2.7 million. That's the number of volunteers who were active in this country in 2018, when Statistics South Africa conducted a survey. A figure that is double the number of volunteers who were active just 8 years earlier. The second statistic, 62.9%. That's the percentage of volunteers who were women when the survey was conducted. And lastly, did you know that young people and discouraged work seekers had the highest volunteer rate compared to people in other labour market statuses? The sheer number of volunteers and volunteer hours in South Africa speaks to an important opportunity that can be used to several ends. A particularly valuable one is upskilling young people. It is not only an opportunity for civil society to act on, there's also a business case to be made for companies to support young volunteers. To talk about all of this, I'm joined by Tiffany Sko, Programs Assistant at Action Volunteers Africa, Fulelani Fuchani, Programs National Coordinator at Nalibali, and Romy Helsinger, CEO at forgood.co.za. I think a good starting point for this conversation would be to clarify that there are different forms of volunteering. And while it's often unpaid, many do receive a stipend as well as the benefit of work experience in a structured environment, as well as the opportunity to learn new skills, which is particularly valuable for young people. Tiffany, I'd like to start the conversation off with you. Tell me about the different forms of volunteering and the recruitment tool that you use to assess whether a candidate is the right fit.
There are basically two forms of volunteering. There's formal and non-formal volunteering. So with formal volunteering, it's more structured and there's usually certain outcomes that you want to meet. There's also an agreement with an organization and with volunteers about how much time they're going to be spending on a particular program, how much days. It's very set. There's a structure and you have to follow a particular structure. And then there's non-formal volunteering. And non-formal volunteering is basically community work, so it's random acts of kindness. So working in a soup kitchen would be an example. And then maybe volunteering at a daycare, cleaning your community. So that's more non-formal. There's not really any structure to it, and you do it when you feel that you can. We have a three-step recruitment process that we follow at AVA. The first is screening. So we have different programs within our organization, and every program has different requirements. So we first screen the interns to make sure they at least meet the minimum requirements that they would need in order to join us. We then have assessments that we do with them. So once they're done with the screening and they make it through, we then have like literacy and numeracy assessments because we work in schools. So we need to make sure that the youth knows the basics of primary school maths and literacy. Once that is done and they pass the assessment, we then have the normal interview. And that's a mixture of normal interview questions you would get when you go to any job and also very scenario-based questions. So we're asking them to put themselves in the position of being, they are now one of our interns and this is a potential thing that could possibly happen. How would they then deal with it? What skills do they have that can end like positively?
Civil society organizations tend to employ young people as volunteers in the communities in which these organizations operate, so that they are not simply passive beneficiaries, but are active participants in the work of civil society. I spoke to one of AVA's volunteers, Babalwa, and this is what she had to say about what keeps her motivated.
My name is Babalwa Popo, and what keeps me motivated as a volunteer is seeing results. Because I volunteer in a primary school, so when I see the learners progress and making a progress in their academics, that motivates me. And the fact that I see growth in myself. The volunteer work that I do at a primary school is academics in maths and English, we do an after-school program with the Year Beyond, and we tutor the learners in the after-school space. The type of organizational culture that helped me thrive is the type that allows you to be who you are. In AVA, we are allowed to be agile, we are flexible, we learn and we grow within the organization and outside the organization.
We just heard a clip of Babalwa Bobo, who spoke about her experience as a volunteer. So how do we create more opportunities, Stephanie, for personal development in volunteering work?
So at AVA, we really find the benefit in personal development within our young people. And so depending on the program, we usually have an average of 1 day per week where we will do personal development sessions with our youth. So the topics will be different every week, some which will focus on communication, other works will focus on how do we work actively in our communities, very different topics every week that we cover with them. We also, because we work in schools during the school holiday programs, our youth are obviously not working within the school because they are closed. We then use that time to also do more skills development with them. So we will have block training weeks where we will cover maybe like progression, and progression is basically what is your next step after you are with us for this year. Or we will cover stuff like mental health, mental well-being, how do you deal with stress in a healthier way. We also encourage our youth to do online courses. So we find platforms that's easy for them to use. We do know that a lot of them, they're not as fortunate as others. And so stuff like data and having phones or having access to computers can be difficult for them. And so we do try and find the most beneficial platform for them to use that is very easy also for them to use, so they can do stuff like online courses so they can also better themselves. And so having opportunities that's just very openly and readily available for them to upskill themselves alone, also with the support of us, we try to expose them to that as much as we possibly can.
Bulalani, growing and nurturing a volunteer complement for Nalibali is your focus area. Once you've secured the interest of a volunteer, what is the trick to keeping them engaged?
I think if there's one area that we are really specializing in and especially strong in, is our ability to attract and maintain local volunteers in particular. So we do this via them registering reading clubs. For us as the campaign, it is to ensure that we keep the communication going, where we ensure that they feel nurtured, they feel supported, that they see that there's a room to grow.
On this question, I wanted to understand things from the experience of one of Nalibali's volunteers, so I spoke to Portia. Here's what she had to say about her own journey as a volunteer for your organization, as well as for Equal Education.
My name is Portia Nyokana Maliwa. I work for City of Cape Town. Most of the things that I am doing are the things that I learned while I was volunteering. So, like, I would encourage youngsters to do volunteerism and organizations also not to abuse the volunteers, because you know, like, you are a volunteer here, you are here for an experience. This is what you must do. There must be a mutual understanding and respect.
Okay, so you were at the bookery and you linked up with Nalibali.
Yes.
And you became a volunteer by starting a reading club. Tell me about that experience.
I live in Khayelitsha. There is a lot of negative things and bad things happening. The crime. You'll just see kids just wandering around. So what I wanted is what I wished I had growing up. So I started a reading club at Sosebenza Primary School. My favorite class was a grade R. So grade R, I will read them a book and then they will read it to me like as if they can read the book. For me, that was joy. That's what kept me going, their excitement for books and stories.
What does an organization need to do to motivate a volunteer, to allow the space for a volunteer to grow?
I'll always go back to Equal Education because that's where I started and then and learned almost everything. They will invite me to strategic meeting. So like being involved, like feeling like you are part of the group.
We just heard a clip of Portia about her experience as a volunteer. Romy, this next question I think is right up your alley. Forgood.co.za is a for-profit organization that links corporates and individuals with causes. So you understand the value in matching people's motivations with organizations that can make it possible for volunteers to meet their own goals. How can civil society organizations position their programs to satisfy those motivations? What advice can you give?
Often giving is very well-intentioned, but often misaligned. And corporate SA often give without asking the causes what they actually need. And what we do as For Good as a company is we offer the causes an opportunity to upload what they need in real time. Now, we, with our 20 corporates that we've got on board, we sit on a plethora of skilled volunteers in the sector. So for instance, if you're in marketing, perhaps don't go and paint that ECD wall. Rather offer your specific marketing services to the cause. If you're an auditor, audit their financials. They would never have access to audited financials because they don't have the resources or the money to implement it. So it really is in terms of skilled volunteering.
This next question I think is for everyone. Let's talk about how to help volunteers transition from voluntary work to employment. Romy, let's start with you.
We've got a huge unemployment crisis in South Africa where young people, people with matric passes, people with university degrees, do not even get a chance or a space in the room simply because they don't have experience. So why not use volunteering to gain that experience? Go and find a cause after your own heart and go and share your specific skills. It's a win-win. The cause gets the benefit of your education and your expertise. In exchange, you will then have experience on your CV.
Tiffany, your thoughts?
Okay, so what we do at AV is they sign up for whatever program it is that they want to do. And with that program, it comes the volunteer component of it, which is working in schools with the learners and doing the tutoring work, and also the self-development or the development part of it, which is work readiness skills, personal development skills. And we just basically use it as a tool for them to discover who they are, what their passions are, what they love doing, so that they can leave the program into a meaningful next step. We also have this thing called progression training. And what progression training is basically, it's us finding out what their passions are and bringing those opportunities to them. So we will have something like career fairs where we would invite universities and recruitment agencies, and maybe some of them are interested in working. So we'll call on companies like DFG call centers just to come there and explain what it is that the institution does, what are the minimum requirements you need to join, and then also to show them, okay, I'm interested in this. This is how I apply. And as Ava, what we then do is we support them through that entire process. We help them create CVs. We help them prepare for interviews. We help them fill out the university application forms. We make sure that they have working email so they can receive communications from them to the institution and the institution to them. We also remind them to continuously check the emails, continuously look for new opportunities, constantly holding their hand and journeying with them to their next step. So progression is a very big part in the work that we do with the youth.
Buladani?
Yeah, I think just to add, I think she made covered almost all the key things. But I think from Nalibali perspective, the training that we offer to our volunteers, they are able to walk away with facilitation skills. They are able to walk away with ability to organize an event and lead an event. And these are the skills that are relevant within the literacy sector in order for one to be employable. And we're quite proud of that as the campaign, that those volunteers that get to be associated with Nalibali, they put themselves in a better position of attracting employment in the near future. But also one of the things that we do when people are running a reading club with us, we treat them like they are nullable employees, meaning that we do not compromise on the standards and the quality that we expect and the engagement on the ground. So we hold our volunteers to high standards. And also from that means we expect them to deliver on our monitoring and evaluation tools. And from understanding, the importance of those monitoring and evaluation skills, they become even better individuals and better employable individuals, because now they understand the implementation and how it goes hand in hand with the monitoring and evaluation. So as the campaign, I think what's key is that our volunteers are not only are they well supported, but also we ensure that we give them the skills that will give them a better chance.
Pulelani, depending on the socioeconomic circumstances of the volunteer, how important is it to provide support to the volunteers themselves as they navigate threats and vulnerabilities in their own lives?
It is very important to support the volunteers, because I think it's important to understand that there's two levels in which we need to offer the support. There's the level where they need to be capacitated to make more meaningful impact as they are engaging with the children. As we understand that, the reason why we do what we do, there's behavioral change that is associated with the work that we do. So the volunteers need to understand, the theories of change in terms of us as Nalibali and why we do things the way we do things. And then there's the other part where we actually need to ensure that on a personal level, our volunteers are well supported and that they are capacitated in a way that, once they are done with Nalibali, they will be able to, get employment and other opportunities elsewhere. So, it's twofold in which this support is being given to our volunteers. There's one where we ensure as facilitators, as reading club leaders, they are effective and impactful as they are engaging with the children. But also, we also need to consistently keep in mind that these individuals, they want to be associated with the Nalibali brand because of what the Nalibali brand represents, which is we are a thought leader within the literacy space. So the assumption is that if I'm part of Nalibali, people will assume that I have expertise in terms of literacy development. So for us, it's important that we ensure that we capacitate those individuals and put them at the level where we can be comfortable that they can speak on behalf of the Nalibali brand.
I want to use this opportunity to thank everyone for participating in this conversation. It was so lovely to have you. It's clear that volunteer work offers opportunities for personal development, and it's important to match motivation, skill set, and strengths with the type of volunteering work that is available. Getting recruitment right is the first step. You want people who are civic-minded. To ensure that young people can fully participate, it's important to identify blockages in their lives from the start and figure out ways to support them in order to remove or work around those challenges. And finally, help volunteers to transition from voluntary work to full-time employment. And now, over to you, those listening to this podcast. Using what you have heard today, you can try this reflective exercise to think intentionally about how you retain, nurture, and support volunteers in your organization. You'll need a pen and paper to write down these steps or download the takeaway sheet from our website, learninglunch.dgmt.co.za. Think about the type of qualities you are looking for in a volunteer so that you can match the right person to the volunteer opportunity. Write these down on a piece of paper and compare notes with your colleagues. Now think about the criteria for the volunteer opportunity and write them down before comparing notes with your colleagues. Using the qualities and criteria that you listed, see if you can draft a recruitment tool that will be able to screen for the right candidate. The National Youth Development Agency has a booklet that can help. You will also find it on our website along with the rest of the takeaway instructions. This was DGMT's Learning Lunch. Until next time.